By way of introduction, last week we studied King Nebuchadnezzar and his dream and the interpretation of it. The king saw a vision of a great statue. The head was made of gold, symbolizing Nebuchadnezzar's empire, Babylon. Its chest and arms were of silver, symbolizing the Medo-Persian Empire. Its belly and thighs were made of brass, symbolizing the Greek Empire. Its legs were made of iron, symbolizing the Roman Empire, eventually divided into western and eastern branches. Its feet were part iron and part clay, symbolizing the increasingly divided and weakened Roman Empire up until the end time of the return of Christ, when Daniel 2:44 says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And so we know that that's coming in the future when Christ will come to earth and set up his kingdom, and we look forward to that day. So now, having given the introduction, we look first of all in verses 1 through 7 at the image of eternal Babylon. The image of eternal Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Now, why did he make an entire image of gold? Well, in the prophecy, the head of his dream, the head of the image in his dream was gold. And Daniel said, that is the Babylonian Empire. That's your empire, Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel said, after you will come another empire inferior to you. And then another empire. And eventually Daniel said that all these empires are going to be ruled over, crushed and ruled over by Christ, who is symbolized by the rock. And so Nebuchadnezzar decided that he didn't want that to happen. So he decided he would go against God's decrees and that he would establish his kingdom forever. So he made an entire image of gold. Now, it's unwise to go against God. And people that do that find that things don't work out well for them. But Nebuchadnezzar was a very prideful man and a very powerful man, so he made this image of gold and set it up in the plain of Dura, and that was to defy God and to show that he was the king and the Babylonian Empire would last forever. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So David Guzik says the image was more like a stylized obelisk than a normal statue, being 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Being so large, it is safe to say that it was not made of solid gold, but probably wood overlaid with gold. This was a common method of construction in the ancient world. So verse 2 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." So he gets all his government officials together and they have to come to the dedication of this image. So it's going to be a very festive occasion at the dedication of this giant image, possibly an obelisk. "Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. The sackbut is a bagpipe. So this must have sounded exceedingly weird. But at what time you hear all of this, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So they had a band. It was a festive atmosphere like a football game. And when the band played, they were to fall down before the golden image and worship. Babylon forever. But there was a warning. And this is the kind of thing that they do in dictatorships and foreign countries and now in the United States. Worship at the government image or face the fiery furnace. And that's what they did. Verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So the majority of the people chose to worship the image. Some people probably disagreed with it, but they went along with the crowd rather than face the fiery furnace because they weren't crazy. But then we see in verses 8 through 12 that the Jews were accused. So you always blame the Jews. It seems to work through history. Hitler got away with it. And people try and do it now. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. So the Chaldeans were the king's advisors. Some people think that they were an ancient family of Babylon that had been the original founders of Babylon, and they spoke languages and could read documents that nobody else could read, and so they were the Chaldeans. They no doubt saw the Jews as political enemies. After all, Daniel had been able to interpret the king's dream, but they could not. Now they have a chance to get rid of their enemies. So they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. When I was a young man, I heard a preacher that was a very dynamic speaker say that they were playing rock music at the thing. And I thought, how can that be possible since they didn't have rock and roll music? And he said, it says all kinds of music, so they had rock music there. That's pretty bad interpretation, but at any rate, it was entertaining, his sermon was. I used to own a bagpipe. I never could play it. I scared some birds out of a tree, though, when I got it for Christmas, and you scared the birds flew away. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So it wasn't a problem for Daniel and his friends to worship their God. It was a problem for them not to worship the king's gods as well. To not worship the king's gods was unpatriotic. It was an affront to Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So this is down through history, you find this is why Christians have been persecuted. It's not that they worship God. It's that they say we have the only true God. We will not bow down to these other gods. That's why they got persecuted. So the third thing we see is standing before Nebuchadnezzar in verses 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Then they brought these men before the king. We don't know where Daniel was. We know that Daniel did not bow down and worship the image, but he's not mentioned in this story. So I don't know if he was away at some kind of a diplomatic thing or where he was. We don't know. But Nebuchadnezzar was very angry, and so they were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" So Nebuchadnezzar didn't just take the word of the Chaldeans. After all, he didn't fully trust them. They might be lying, but they weren't in this case. So he asked Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, "Is it true? Is it true?" He didn't just take the word of the Chaldeans. And then he gave them a chance. He gave them an opportunity. "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image that I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" The king had lost his memory since the last chapter. Because in the last chapter, verse 47 of Daniel 2, the king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." So between the dream and its interpretation and the decree to build this image, the king had a memory lapse. He forgot how powerful the God of the Hebrews is. And then we see the fourth thing, their answer, verses 16 through 18. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter," meaning we have no need to answer. The matter was whether or not God will deliver them. So we said we don't have any need to answer that. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." So Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man on earth. And these three Hebrews stand before him, and they're young men, and they say, "If you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." God is able to deliver. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So they said, "But if not, even though God is able, he may not be willing to deliver." They don't know. But they know that they are not going to bow down. "But if not." That's an important phrase, because a lot of us will serve God so long as things go our way, and so long as God blesses. But what if he doesn't? What if you do lose your job? What if you do fall on hard times? What if you do get sick and get cancer or some other disease? What if God doesn't deliver? Will you still serve him? That's the question. And that's what these Hebrew young people said. "Be it known unto thee, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They said, "We will not do it. We will not bow down." Spurgeon said, "Do not judge the situation by the king's threat and by the heat of the burning fiery furnace, but by the everlasting God and the eternal life which awaits you. Let not flute, harp, and sackbut fascinate you, but hearken to the music of the glorified. Men frown at you, but you can see God smiling on you, and so you are not moved." Now the fifth thing we see is into the fiery furnace. Into the fiery furnace, verses 19 through 27. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So he said, turn the dial up. I don't think they used a dial, but he said, turn it up. Make it 7 times hotter. So he was going to make sure that the moment they got in that furnace, that they were just, boom, they were gone. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. So I don't know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must have been pretty strong if he had to command the strongest men, the most mighty men that were in his army. Or maybe he was just doing it for a show, but he's showing that he's going to judge those that will not bow down. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So the coats, hosen, and hats were cloaks, tunics, and hats, and they were dressed in their garments to help them burn. So, I mean, we all know how it, you know, if you've ever gotten burned or had your skin exposed to a flame, it doesn't really catch fire that quickly. But if you have clothes on, your clothes catch fire, you'll burn up. So he's trying to burn them quickly, make sure they get burned up. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the fire was so hot that the soldiers who threw them in the furnace were killed by the heat. So that's pretty hot. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, adds a psalm of praise before this. And in verse 24, it says that when the king heard them singing praises, he was astonished. The king was not watching the fire. His counselors obviously came and told him that the Jews were still alive in the furnace. And it is a good bet that they were singing praises, because that's usually what God's people do when they're in adversity. That's what Paul and his and Silas were doing in the jail. They were singing praises when the doors were opened and the jailer was going to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And they said, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And then they preached the gospel to him. But whether they were singing or not, Nebuchadnezzar found out they were still alive, and he found out that there was somebody else in the furnace with them. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now there has been debate about how this should be translated. The fourth is like the Son of God. Because you can translate it as well, the fourth is like a son of the gods. And depending on which translation of the Bible you're using, then it'll either say the Son of God or a son of the gods. Both are correct as far as translations are concerned. Many think that Nebuchadnezzar would not have known about the Son of God, because he was a Gentile king. Therefore, he was saying the fourth is like a divine figure, a son of the gods. However, it is possible that he knew about the Son of God from the Jews. For instance, Psalm 2 and verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so the Jews were aware of the Son of God. And we know that even when Jesus was on earth, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees condemned Jesus to death for blasphemy. And remember what the blasphemy was. It wasn't that he claimed to be the Messiah, because lots of people claimed to be the Messiah and weren't put to death. It was because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah in a unique way, in that he was the Son of God. And the fact that he claimed to be the Son of God caused him to be put to death, because that was blasphemy, because that made him deity. He was claiming to be deity. And so the Jews knew that God had a son. Today they deny that God has a son. And they would tell you that, well, we never believed that God had a son. But no, the Jews knew that God had a son. And so the fourth is like the Son of God. But at any rate, whatever Nebuchadnezzar thought, we know who was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? We know it was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walking in the midst of the fire with his people. And he walks there with us too. When we go through the fire, Jesus is with us. And he walks with us in the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. It must have cooled off. Either that or he wasn't getting as close as the soldiers. And he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar calls God the Most High God, acknowledging and giving praise to the God of the Hebrews. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And that's pretty impressive. You know, back, I don't know if any of you flew back when you could smoke on planes, but I understand that you couldn't get off the plane without smelling like you smoked a pack of cigarettes, you know. Was it that bad? Yeah, so, I mean, they were in the fiery furnace, and they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of it. It's amazing. God protected them. Now, the sixth thing we see is that Nebuchadnezzar praises God, verses 28 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So the king's decree couldn't be altered, but he said that God has changed the king's words. He's changed the decree of the king. That's because God had decreed already what was going to happen. And you can't change God's decrees. They're set in stone. Now, he says that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Keep in mind that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel didn't tell the Babylonians that they couldn't worship other gods. They stood up for their religious freedom, freedom to worship God alone in the midst of a pagan society. And this is what Christians do today. We don't have any interest, well, I guess some Christians do, but I have no interest in passing laws to ban other people from practicing their religion. We believe in freedom of religion as Americans, right? Freedom of religion. We don't have interest in passing laws to prevent other people from practicing their religion. But we want the freedom to worship God the way that we see it in the Bible. We want the freedom to practice our religious beliefs. And people are now passing laws to limit our religious beliefs and our freedom of speech. And if you don't believe that, just check what's going on in the news and what's happening. And it's worse in other places. In Canada, it's worse. Been reading about some of that. But we have to have religious freedom. It's strange that we don't want to prevent other people from doing what they want to do. We just want to worship God the way that we see it in the Bible. And that still makes people mad that we say that Jesus is the only way. And we say, well, the Bible says that abortion's wrong and homosexuality's wrong and all these types of things. Transgenderism's wrong. It's sinful. And even the gay people, a lot of them think that's nuts, the transgender people. But at any rate, we say that this stuff is wrong according to the Bible, and that makes people mad. And they say, you can't say that. You can't say that. And so they try to prevent us from having our freedom of speech and all these things that are guaranteed to us in the Constitution. But if the government says you will bow down and worship at our image, then God will deliver us. But if not, we still are not going to bow down and worship at the government-mandated image. But the king made a decree. He was Nebuchadnezzar, so he's going to pass a law. So therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So this is like Muslim blasphemy laws. Don't speak anything against the prophet, you know, or there's a penalty. Well, the king said, we're going to limit your speech. You're not going to speak anything against, you can worship. I'm going to worship my gods. The king didn't change his religion. He said, I'm worshiping my gods. Other people can worship their gods. But you say anything against the God of the Hebrews, and we're going to cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill. That seems to be his thing. Like, he's repeated that several times, and that's pretty horrible stuff, to be chopped in pieces and have your house torn down and make it like a waste dump. So, wouldn't want to mess with Nebuchadnezzar. But at any rate, that's what happened. So God turned the tables here. It started out with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to bow. They were to bow down, and if they didn't, they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And they got thrown in the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down. And Jesus Christ was in the midst of the furnace with them. And so they come out of the furnace unscathed by the fire. And the king makes a decree that no one, they can practice their religion, they do not have to worship the king's gods, and anyone that speaks against the God of the Hebrews is going to be chopped in pieces and their house made a dunghill. So God has turned the tables. And he does that quite often. So then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So it turned out pretty well for them, for standing up for what's right and not backing down. It certainly wasn't easy, but it was the right thing to do. And doing what's right is seldom easy. But I hope in your life, I was going to say in school, but the only school student we have here this morning is homeschooled, so... You're going to school now? What school are you going to? Oh, Canaan. Well, that's a Christian school. Okay. All right. Well, so, okay. So, wherever you work, wherever you are on the job, and even in a Christian school, not everybody in Christian school is Christian. So, you take a stand for what's right. Take a stand for what's right. Stand up for Jesus Christ. And in your business, in your home, in your life, take a stand for what's right. And God will bless you for doing that. But if not, you still need to stand for what's right. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were certainly taken care of for doing this. And that's what normally happens. The king promotes them in the province of Babylon. And God is continuing to use the Jews here to get the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what he's doing. He's getting the message of the true God and even the Son of God. He's getting that message to the Gentile nations. And because of that, many years later, when Jesus was born, Magi from the east came and visited the place where the young baby, well, he wasn't a baby at that point, but he was maybe 1 or 2 years old, but they come and visit. And all because of Daniel's influence and this influence of this message of the one true God in the province of Babylon. And that gospel message is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's the message we have today. And that you can be saved if you will turn to the Lord by faith and trust Him to forgive your sins and save your soul. And He will come into your life and save you and give you a home in heaven. If you'll simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. And I do thank You that You turned the tables. And I thank You that they stood their ground and would not bow down. And I pray that we would not bow down in the face of this secular society that wants to rob us and destroy us. I pray that we would not bow down, but that we would stand for what's right. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. All right, we'll stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace. If you need to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. If you need special prayer about something, we'll be happy to pray with you.